Find ADU, my super friends. I'm Rob, and that's Cody.
Hi there.
And we'd like to welcome you to episode number 61 of the Low Key Raft. I fucked up the numbering in our previous two episodes. I'll take that one on the chin. This is actually episode number 61. I can't even get the numbering right, so like we're barely buoyant, but we are slightly buoyant lifeline to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. On today's show, we discuss the possible resurgence of the Prince of New Jersey. Marvel's certainly trying to resurrect Bon Jovi's career with this one. Mm-hmm. It's Miss Marvel, Season 1, Episode 3, I Could Do This All Day. Codes, Wenwu to my Shang-Chi. How's it going today, big guy?
It's going good. It's going good. Just getting over a little case of the sniffles. So other than that, everything's tip top. So if you hear a little sniffle from me, I apologize.
Yeah, if you hear one sniffle, turn the podcast off and leave a negative review.
Yeah, like these guys don't know how to communicate without sniffling every 2 seconds.
Cody, let's
mouth breathers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just want to join me in the mouth breather land.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it'd be like you, Rob.
Yeah. No one wants to be like me. but codes, it's a new way we're starting the podcast off. We're going to talk about kind of what's going on with the podcast right now, what we can expect, what's coming down the pipeline, if you will.
What's coming down the pipeline? We're going to try to step up our game a little bit. So we're gonna start sneaking in a second episode. We're trying to do it every week, but you know, maybe every other week, get a second episode in, whether it's top sevens, maybe a little deep dive on a character that's coming up, maybe a little Easter eggs, maybe a little blooper reel. We're just gonna try to sneak in a little second episode.
I don't know if a blooper reel would be entertaining for like 45 minutes.
No, definitely not. As I was saying that, I was like, no, that's more of like an Instagram thing. That's another thing we're gonna start stepping up is our Instagram. So that's where you see those stuff. But the mini episodes of like deep dives, whether it be a character or like an object that's going to be powerful, aka maybe like the Necro sword that Gore uses, and talking about Gore and his sword.
That's actually a nice segue, because you can expect when Thor Love and Thunder comes out, we're going to have a Thor Love and Thunder episode. We try and release these, you know, as these things are coming out. So whenever a new movie comes out, we always put a new episode out. And it's not going to be just like Marvel TV comics. Like, we might talk about video games as well. Big video game guy. Maybe keep an eye out for X-Men Mutant Apocalypse episode one day. Any of the Super Nintendo fans that played that game, you know who you are.
Yeah.
Or the Spider-Man games on the GameCube and the PS2. Those games slapped.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of different things we're looking to experiment with. So just, keep your eye on that feed and,
The other thing we're gonna start teeing up is our big Rafties production. So we're gonna take all the Rafties that we've given out over our 61 episodes now, or you know, maybe it'll be by the time Miss Marvel finishes, everything from the end of Miss Marvel to our beginning, which was Thor. Anytime we've given out a Rafty, we're gonna pick the best of the best. And we're going to do a little Oscar-style show. Hopefully, we'll drop in the next 7-10 days. We're going to be dropping on Instagram kind of the first category that you can vote on. So we want to try to get some listener participation, some interaction with you guys and gals, guys and gals. Expect to see that coming down the pipeline as well.
And our Instagram is in the description of the episode. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us. It's fun. We're going to be posting a lot more stuff on there. Some of our greatest hits moments, some bloopers as well. Lots of stuff gets cut from the podcast that you don't hear. It's usually me making a mistake because I have most of the scripted stuff, but, it's usually me making the mistake. So, keep your eye on that. Follow us on Instagram for all the updates. If we're going to drop something unexpectedly, it'll be posted there as well. So, that is what you can expect. I've been calling them the Mega Rafties behind the scenes, but I don't think that's the running name, but I don't think that's going to be what they're called.
No. As well. No, I don't know if we've kind of I had a official name for it, but yeah, the Super Raft East, Mega Raft East is the working title, but
yeah,
we'll come up. Right now, it's just the Rafty Show.
And my working title for like our small episodes has been Mini Jags. Oh, yeah. But I don't know if that'll stick either.
I kind of like that, actually. That kinda funny. Little Mini Jags.
Yeah. Eddie Hoozle. That's what's coming down the pipeline. Let's get back to Ms. Marvel. This is the spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen the first three episodes of Ms. Marvel and really anything else in the MCU, we are a spoiler podcast, so we're going to spoil the shit out of them. There were some Easter eggs dropped in this for things that have happened in other movies. So this is your spoiler alert for all things MCU. But again, I find if most people are watching Ms. Marvel, they've probably seen everything else in the MCU. So usually isn't much of a problem. Small disclaimer, we are not experts. We discuss this TV show through the lens of a less than expert, but more than casual Marvel Cinematic Universe fan. The structure today is as follows. Spoiler heavy discussion of the main overarching themes of this episode. We'll go scene by scene just in case you forget what happened. We'll kind of talk about the stuff that happened and, you know, discuss maybe some of the smaller nuances or kind of bring things to each other's attention that maybe the other person missed. We will then give a rating for the episode to see how it stacks up amongst the rest of the season. And then we, since we are at the mid-season awards, we are handing out the mid-season Rafties. But remember, these are just, you know, little teasers for the Rafties. These aren't, you know, the end game awards for this show, but we will hand out some mid-season awards just to see who we think is excelling or de-selling. I don't think that's a word, but
we'll go with it.
We'll go with it. And then we will hand we will do some bold predictions highlighting how we think that this episode will impact the rest of the series and maybe the MCU further beyond, because there were some interesting things brought forward in this episode. All right, buddy. This was an interesting one. Usually yeah. the third episode rocks the boat a little bit, but not too much. I think it's usually episode four that just, or is it five?
Yeah, four or five, right? Starts to really kind of push the envelope.
Yeah, like I'm just thinking of like Loki and Moon Knight.
Yeah.
They kind of just, I think it's episode four where like a crazy fucked up reveal happens.
Yeah.
At the end of Moon Knight was the sanitarium. Episode four.
Right. That's a good call. Yeah, so, that's pretty big.
And then Loki is the timekeepers. So
big thing. So I'm hoping episode four for this is going to be pretty awesome.
But this one, I think, tees up a lot.
It does. And it gives us a little more background, kind of sets the stage more of what's going on. Not that it was like anything was unknown. Well, I guess a little bit. We didn't know where her powers came from. Obviously, Inhuman is a big thing, but now we know it is not Inhuman. She is, wait for it, drum roll please, she's a djinn.
And or they come from the clandestine.
Yeah, well, that's what they're called in their home dimension, which is the newer dimension, which is also the light dimension. Newer stands for light or light bringer.
Yeah. Which, like... I did some research on the. Like, I'm sure you and I both went right on Google the second, because I have not heard a fucking thing about the clandestine.
No, I had not really known much about Jin or the clandestine in the comics. It's pretty obscure, really. Like, it's nothing too major. They do cross over the clandestine, which so the clandestine, obviously, that is a word itself, but then, like, this is the clan of the Destin. It's basically, it's a nice little play on words, like in the comics anyway, because the father of the clandestine, his name is Adam Destin, and then his, obviously, it's like a clan, because it was back in like medieval times.
Like the 12th century or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. So they're that. So that's kind of the reference. That's kind of like a little Easter egg. I don't think they're really going to play too far into like the clandestine, because that's like their own like subgroup of djinn. For those that don't, we might as well just do a little quick little deep dive on that now, since they talk about the beginning.
It gets revealed like right at the start. So it
yeah. So basically, there was a djinn. I probably cannot pronounce her name. Alaleth.
Aliath.
Aliath.
No.
Aliath. That's A L A like L Y T H, something like that. Doesn't matter. She falls in love with this knight called Adam Destin.
It is important to note that Adam Destin was tricked into releasing her.
Yeah.
By a warlord.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And then he ends up falling in love with the djinn that he releases.
Yeah. And then through that, he gets like immortality and invulnerability because djinns are powerful beings. And then, you know, they have like a whole whack of kids together.
Yeah, they make lots of babies.
But it's
comic books, so we don't know where babies come from.
No.
They don't
know. No. Not back then.
No.
So, yeah, and then basically they kind of just live off the radar a little bit. They kind of don't want the attention of humans. Two of the kids, the twins, they get like, you know, the costumes and try to want to be superheroes and stuff like that. And they kind of get into some trouble. One of the kids goes off the rails and tries like to kill people. Victor Destin. And then eventually tries to like take over Wolverine's body after he was killed and a spirit tries to.
Yeah, like most of their crossovers are with the X-Men, it seems like. And Spider-Man. I think those are the two big crossovers that I was able to find.
Doctor Strange a little bit as well. But yeah, X-Men was like kind of the majority of it. It was like, I think it was usually Storm and Wolverine were the big ones.
Well, because I think at some point there's one where they think they're mutants, so they seek out Xavier.
Right.
Because they have their powers do like it's just the same thing like within humans and mutants, they kind of a lot of people mix them up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're very similar, right? So
but like all this being said, they are very minor. Like very minor in the comics. Like I was trying to find on YouTube anyone that was linking Miss Marvel and the Clandestine, and there's like two videos with less than 1,000 views.
Yeah.
Of people like theorizing that the Clandestine are going to show up because of their like the djinn, right? Because that's like more of a Middle Eastern, you know,
folklore.
So, there were people that were theorizing that might happen, but none of the big, you know, like the new rock stars and the Emergency Awesomes and the Everything Always and Cosmic Wonders and all them, like they weren't mentioning it whatsoever.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think they're going to kind of maybe use that a little bit, but I don't think they're going to lean into like the clandestine from the comics, like how it was a family and there's a bunch of kids and stuff like that.
I think they're smushing it all together because I think if you go back and listen to our primer, we talk about a character named Lineage. Yeah. And that's who Kamran brings Kamala to meet Lineage.
Yeah.
And Lineage ends up being evil.
Yeah. And then Lineage was trying to fight against, it was kind of having a coup against the Inhumans, whereas this, I think. Cameron's mom is probably the Lineage replacement, and she's just trying to fight against djinn.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very similar. They just change Inhuman to djinn.
Fight against djinn? I think they're embracing the djinn role. I think she's trying to fight against humans because she's stuck on Earth.
But I think she wants to get back home because they were exiled, right? So obviously there's like a separation between this little subgroup that we got with like, you know, the people we met in this episode, and they're exiled and they want to get back home. But obviously, by going back home, they're going to cause strife because they were exiled already.
Yeah.
So I think they want to go back and stir up some shit, kind of like Lineage does with the Inhumans. But we can talk more about that in Bold Predictions.
Yeah. Anyway,
Let's get into the episode. We just want to explain Clandestine, the djinn. Genies. You know, djinns have been known to be genies. They get trapped in things a lot. So I don't think they're going to go that far, but...
I always think of the Yu-Gi-Oh card, La Jin, the mystical genie of the lamp. She was like a super powerful card for a long time. But anywho, we begin in British-occupied India in 1942, where a group of people led by Kamran's mom, Naima.
Yep.
Naima?
Yep. And Aisha was also, it seemed like a leader of their group as well.
Yeah, she wasn't there initially. She kind of comes in because she was looking in, it looks like a different part of this cave. But the Aisha says that like, because they find the bangle.
Yeah.
It's like on a dead, it's on a lopped arm. Off arm. And Aisha says, like, the man from the temple said we needed two. And then the temple starts to kind of crumble because I think the British are coming. we got to pan up and holy fuck, they're in a temple and there's 10 rings.
Yeah. The symbol for the 10 rings. Didn't catch that the first time.
I missed it the first time too, but the second time I was like, why are they lingering here? Like,
why is this shot overhead and lingering?
Yeah, like there's a reason. And then I'm like, oh shit, like there's like East Asian symbols there. and there's 10 rings on the ground. Yeah.
Yep.
I can't believe I missed it. And then I went to look out to make sure it wasn't crazy, and then there's like, there's tons of people posting about it. So I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm a little late to this party, but
we got there.
We did get there. It's at this point where Aisha takes the bangle and they separate, and they're like, I will see you, I promise. Like, we'll see you again. And I guess this is the part where Aisha, this is the last time anyone saw her.
Yeah.
Was at this point. No. Weird. Yeah, because they don't say, when they're talking, like when Yusuf's telling the story about, you know,
the train
Sana and the train, and did they say when Aisha disappeared? Because was he inferring that she disappeared in the 60s during the partition? No, it was in the 40s, the end of the 40s.
Yeah, so
like the partition is in 47. Yeah, this is happening in 42.
So the 5-year gap where she probably lost them, and then probably had started a family at that point, because her grandmother was probably maybe 5. Like, I mean, Kamala's grandmother, who is Aisha's daughter, probably was, you know, maybe wasn't born in this scene in 42. Maybe she wasn't even alive yet. She gets lost. The British invade. Shit happens. Ends up meeting somebody, has a kid 4 or 5 years later, loses, you know, and then she disappears.
Okay.
That's kind of, I'm thinking that's kind of what happens, because there's a 5-year gap between this scene and then the partition.
Yeah, and I guess now that we kind of have an idea of like what they're just people that were created in a different dimension.
Yeah. Who can be quite powerful, but then obviously in this dimension they can't access all their nor, because they, as Nimra says, like, you know, we have nor in us, we just can't access it in this dimension.
Yeah, but since
or fully access it.
Since Kamala was born on Earth, she's able to access it
through, yeah, with the
they think bangle. That she's able to better access it through the bangle,
yeah,
and, you know, open up a portal so that they can get home.
Mm-hmm.
It is also at this point where because you know, we obviously have jumped into, you know, Naima explaining the origins to Kamala. Kamala's like, wasn't Kamran born here too? And then Naima just moves on. She doesn't even fucking like entertain the question.
Yeah. He'll find his own way of using his powers.
So like in the second watch through, you're like, okay, like this girl, she was a piece of shit since Jump Street. So
yeah,
she doesn't give a shit about Kamala or Aisha at this point. She just wants to get home.
Yeah.
And it's at this point where Kamala's like, well, what are you? Like, what are we? And this is when she gives the whole clandestine speech, talks about how they're most commonly called djinn.
Yeah.
Like that the clandestines are most commonly called djinn.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the summary of what we get. We meet the whole family. They all look really young, so they obviously don't age very quickly. Mm-hmm. Considering they look the same as they did when they were in the 40s. I did want to point out there is a dude named Adam. I'm assuming that's just an Easter egg, because especially even in the subtitles, like Adam has 2 A's at the start, whereas Adam Destin does not have 2 A's.
Yeah.
So I think that's just an Easter egg. I don't think he's the guy who created the clandestine, because I don't think he would be exiled from his own dimension.
Yeah, exactly. And for those, you know, as we previously mentioned, the clandestine of the comics, Adam was just a human who fell in love with a djinn and got powers from the djinn, and then, you know, had babies with everybody and created the clan, you know. Yeah.
So we then jump to Bruno's bedroom where Kamala's like catching him up on everything that happens. Crux of it is she needs his help because he's good at math, so he might know things about interdimensional travel.
Yeah, which is a nerd, and obviously read some Elvik Selvig article.
Elvik Selvig?
Eric Selvig. Well, yeah. That's wow.
That was a good Woo! One. But yeah, so we got a nice Eric Selvig drop, because yeah, so he's like, I think I can help. And so then we jump to the mosque where Agent Deaver, who's clearly I don't think this is a bold prediction, because lots of people bring it up. I think that there is Skrull infiltration in the DODC, just because the way that some of them are acting, it just doesn't seem human.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it just makes sense too, you know? That's how the Skrulls can infiltrate, you know, the government, basically, right? Like, it's their own, like, little, like, force.
Yeah.
Which, and I think the DODC is going to be heavily involved in the Secret Wars show.
Secret Invasion,
yeah.
But, yeah, because they're supposed to be. Like, isn't the... Because the Secret Invasion is supposed to take... At least address what happened during the blip.
Yeah.
It was a good time for the Skrulls to...
Start infiltrating. Yeah. And then why the DODC went from a cleanup crew to a police force and like government agency that can like arrest people and shit.
It's a big change. And have weapons to deal with powered people. Like it's.
Yeah. Right. Like that's a big change.
But I think Cody and I were talking about it off mic, but we were thinking that because in the comics, S.H.I.E.L.D. turns into Hammer when Norman Osborn takes them over.
Yeah.
Which is just like an evil S.H.I.E.L.D. basically.
Basically, yeah.
And so, like, we're thinking that this might be kind of a...
Similar.
A bit of a parallel to that. Anywho's also, yeah, Agent Deaver goes to the mosque. Nakia basically says, you can't search this place without a warrant. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, which, you know what? I enjoyed that. I thought Nakia stepped up.
Absolutely.
Kicked some ass.
Bitch slapped her.
Oh, yeah.
And then I love how Sheik Abdullah at the end is like, make sure next time you come in here, you take your fucking shoes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it. Like, it's so disrespectful. Come on. It's a place of worship. Like, again, it's not like not something I practice or believe in whatsoever. But, you know, if I go to a mosque, I'm going to take my shoes off.
Yeah.
It's just respectful.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, if you and I were playing in a volleyball tournament, and someone came in with their fucking like muddy shoes on. You tell them to fucking change it.
Yeah, you're not gonna go trucking around in a gymnasium, or
you know, I'm not comparing the two for people who do practice Islam, but like to us, like that's a really important thing, and we would get upset over it. So I can't imagine what it would be like in a mosque if someone walks in with their fucking shoes on. It's just even more disrespectful.
Yeah.
So we then go to Kamal's bedroom. Naki is very stressed. Takes face off her.
Hits it.
Yeah, just face plants on the bed, which we've all done many times.
Oh god!
So after you just had a day.
Yeah, you just had a day, and you just go and just flop onto the bed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when Nakia tells her about damage control showing up, but she's like pissed off because Nightlight. Yeah. I think she's basically saying that she doesn't care about the problems she's causing for her community.
Yeah.
Right. Because she was spotted at the mosque. I don't know how. Is it just because of the Eid? The Eid?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Just because it was, yeah, the kid. I think the kid was like hanging outside of the mosque.
Yeah. Yeah. So she doesn't care. But in there, she slips in like that. Nakia became a board member. So congratulations, Nakia.
Yeah. Did it.
Much deserved. I think she was already on the way. And then I think that it's just like, when she told the DODC to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
That kind of pushed her over the edge.
Definitely.
But then they're like, let's get ready for Mindy.
Yeah, I think so. Which is like the kind of pre-wedding party, I think is what.
Because I think you kind of see that Taisha doesn't, she's not using her hands. I think they're putting that like, it's like a practice of like putting reddish brown dye on them.
It's like henna, basically.
Yeah, it's what it's called. It's henna. Yeah. It symbolizes like a bond, and it's very common before Pakistani weddings to do that. Mm-hmm. So, they're obviously gossiping, and they talk about how Nightlight's mother should be ashamed of herself.
Yeah, which I thought was some great dramatic irony right there. Which, if you don't know what that is when the audience knows more than the characters, and obviously we know that she herself is the mother of Nightlife, and she just basically, you know, made fun of herself, or like, you know, gave her own self shit. So I thought that was pretty funny. A little giggle inside, like, haha, sucker.
Was she ever called Nightlight in the comics, jokingly, or is this an MCU thing?
I think this is an MCU thing. Kind of like Night Monkey, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Peter Parker was never called Night Monkey. I think there might have been a Night Monkey or something like that, maybe, but same kind of thing, you know.
Nightlight,
which makes sense, like how the powers are kind of like a light based, and she's from a, you know, a light dimension,
and she's only appeared at nighttime as well.
Night, so yeah, I get it.
That makes sense. And then so Kamala, you know, obviously is upset after hearing this. Goes outside, has a chat with Sheik Abdullah, and we get the "with great power comes great responsibility" line. kind of. This one is good. Good is not a thing you want, Kamala. It's a thing that you do.
No, it's not. A good is not a thing you are. Is a thing you do.
Are. Fuck.
Idiot.
I gotta fix that.
Yeah.
And then Kamala opens this package that Bruno left for her, and it's the classic Miss Marvel eye cover, which we took a shit on. I think in the previous episode, we said there's no way you can hide your identity just by putting that little, you know, bandana-esque covering.
Yeah, like everyone who knows you is going to know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Facial recognition would still pick up your face.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so, like, yeah. You're better off just wearing a pair of sunglasses.
Absolutely, you would. Yeah, so yeah, she got that, which was cute, but you know, come on. Yusuf then shows up to Bruno's work at his convenience store where he's doing some research, and he buys this like this little like snack cake that Muniba won't let him eat.
Yeah.
Oh. And I love how he's talking about this, like, I just love the synthetic taste.
Yeah, the syntheticness of it.
Yeah. And so he actually ends up helping Bruno because Bruno's researching you know, the djinn, and it's written in Urdu. And obviously, Yusuf reads, Urdu. Is able to read Urdu. Basically says, like, the summary of this is that there's a group of djinn that are destined to live in exile forever and from their dimension.
Trying to fight their way back in. It basically describes the exact situation that is going on to a T, and this thing is, who knows where this thing was from. But it exactly describes the situation.
And he used the word primordial power.
Yes.
They need a primordial power.
Yes.
That is a big word for big, power.
That's a big word. It's just so convenient that he happened to find this one article that happens to describe this situation perfectly.
Cody, you're spoiling my bullshit award.
I know, right?
This is magic movie land at its
fucking finest.
So... Oh. Yeah, I was fuming. I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this might be my least favorite part of the show so far.
When was this thing written? Like, what the fuck?
And like, I would love to just get like a 45-second montage of how Bruno gets all of his information.
Yeah.
Because like, he's just pulling all this shit out of his ass, but like, maybe some level, because we're just supposed to believe, oh, he's a genius, trust us.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what's going on here.
For everything else, though, I get, like, you know, because they explain how he, you know, learned about interdimensional travel, the power needed to use, you know, such a bridge to another dimension, because he read Eric Selvig's, you know, article on it, and we know he's an expert on that, so I get that, but, like, this, like, did he just do, like, a Google search and found this stuff on Urdu, and, like, you know...
No. Like, it's total hogwash.
Hogwash.
You don't just Google this.
Like, and... With, you know, they've only been, according to what they've said, and based on what we know from the episode so far, is that they've only been on Earth for about 100 years, right? So, you know, they're sitting 1920s-ish, 1910s maybe at the latest.
20s. Well, this takes place in the early to mid-2020s, like MCU's exactly. In 2025, right?
Right, so we're thinking like 1920s, right? Mm-hmm. Roughly, right? And then in the 40s... You know, they find the thing or whatever. So, like, basically, this was that article must have been written in Urdu in the 1920s-ish. Maybe somebody who just knew them and then wrote it. Like, oh, I'm just going to write, oh, what's your story? Okay, yeah, no, I'm going to write that down. Maybe it'll make it to the internet one day. What? No, that's so stupid. So stupid.
All right. Well, my bullshit award was spoiled, so thanks for that, Coates.
Yeah,
as you can tell, we don't discuss our rafties before.
No,
before these, because we want to surprise each other. But yeah, that's
don't worry. It was my bullshit as well. Let's get real.
Okay, yeah, really, really bad.
Movie Magic Land to the T.
So yeah, we jump to Bruno's room. Him and Kamala are chatting. That's when he says, like, you basically need the power of the sun to get home, and it's hella dangerous. He's like, things go boom.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I was given the bangle for a reason. Like, so she's very clearly, you know, buying the snake oil that Naima was selling with how to get home. Like, she needs to help them get home. But yeah, because like, this is Kamala is like, as you can tell, she's really questioning whether or not she's going to be a superhero. And she's like, I got this bangle. Maybe it's not to be a superhero, but it's to help them maybe get home. And it's just at this point where Bruno just like gently slides in. I got into Caltech.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way Nakia said, like, I got on the board. Yeah, like just, they're talking about like, you know, Kamala, but like, let's slide in.
Something going on in my life.
Yeah.
Like big events.
Yeah. And then so he's like, I'm going to stay and make sure that you're okay. But then I need to leave. I need to go. Which I think is because he's in love with her. Or like he at least likes her.
Yeah. He obviously has feelings for her. And then Cameron didn't help. And then, but also I think a part of me just kind of thought like he needs to go there to get smarter. You know what I mean? He needs to learn more. Like by going to university, he's going to have more at his fingertips, more things that he can access to learn more, to step his game up, to, you know, be the guy in the chair. Not even the guy in the chair, like the tech guy for Kamala, right? I think it's a bit of a twofold.
Sorry, I had to write down a bold prediction that came to my mind as we were talking there.
That's fair. The other thing I want to point out, like I liked, you know, it's very logical, and I'm glad they did this for Bruno because he's like a smart, logical guy. He's like, no, like I'll help you, but like we don't know everything that we need to know to create a portal to another dimension because there are far too many outliers to do this. Like we could blow up New York or Jersey City doing this. So maybe let's just like not rush it. Let's not do it today. Let's just figure this out. Let's take a moment. Let's take a beat, which I, you know, that's very logical.
Yep.
And
well, Kamala's like, Carol Danvers would just punch a hole in the universe and go. And he's like, well, luckily you're not Carol Danvers.
Yeah. And maybe it's a good thing you're not, because that would be very brash to do.
Yeah.
And reckless, I think is what he said. Carol Danvers would be very reckless to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Then we jump to Kamala and Maniba. They're chatting because Kamala's, you know, she has the knee injury because, you know, she got in a fight with the DODC and their drones.
Yeah.
Maniba starts fixing it up for her. Kamala asks, have you ever wanted something so bad, but it's not what you expected it to be? And, like, you feel like you're against the world, basically. And then Maniba talks about how they came to America. America was her mountain. They wanted to live the American dream, and it was a struggle. She didn't speak English very well. And then she found the mosque. She found Auntie Ruby.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the other aunt.
Yeah,
basically her, like, her friends basically,
her friends,
right? Her friends.
But yeah, and just basically how, like, you know, the I feel like the big theme of this episode has been family.
Yeah,
she talks about family in this as well, and we'll see later family is once again mentioned. Is at this point where Kamala goes up to her room, texts Kamran, says like, I need your help, but it could be dangerous. He's like, just focus on the wedding. So at this point you're like, okay, is he a shithead or is he like to saying like, no, like this can wait, like just do your life.
Yeah.
And then it's wedding time.
Wedding time.
You know, Amir, I love this. What is he? I have $782 in my bank account.
$732.49.
The things you forget and the things you remember just astounds me.
Yeah. Numbers, man. Numbers. I don't know.
And basically Yusuf is like, dude, like calm your shit. You know, gives him like the pre-wedding pep talk.
Yeah.
And he talks about, though, like family.
Mm-hmm.
You have chosen family. And like Kamala watches all of this.
Yeah. Just happens to hear it. It's kind of one of those, like, you know, big, like Uncle Ben kind of speeches. You know what I mean?
But like, is Kamala taking it as if like her family, like her parents and Amir, or her family, like the clandestine?
That's what I wasn't sure.
So I think that it's trying to, I don't think they gave it. I think this might be one of my only problems with the episode. I don't think they gave it enough time to marinate like this whole idea that like the clandestine are her family.
Yeah.
It kind of rushed this part where it's like, she talks to Naima, to Naima for like 80 seconds and then jumps back to regular life. And then at this point she has to kind of like off screen think about all of this family stuff because, you know, she has these powers and she can help them get back, but it didn't give her much time to connect with these people.
No, not really at all.
So like, I don't get why she feels so compelled to help them.
Yeah, well, by the same time, like, she was still listening to Bruno and wasn't going to rush it, you know what I mean? So she was still making the right choice by going to the wedding and not just like, oh, I'm going to go punch a hole in the universe.
Yeah, but again, like, I think that they rushed this. I think this episode should have been her building that relationship with the clandestine folk.
But I think maybe that's, you know, this is one of my issues with Cameron's mom is that, you know, and or just that group, I guess, of Jin, like the lack of patience they had. But we'll get into it a little bit. Well, we're coming up to it anyway. Basically, let's talk about the wedding. Looked great. The dance,
Bollywood dance was lovely.
So much fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I was giggling. I had fun, and I wasn't even at the wedding.
Yeah, I know, right?
I felt like I was at the wedding. I was like, this is great.
This is a great fucking time. People are singing, they're dancing, having a great time. I was like, I would love to be at a wedding like that. Like,
I did want to point out that when Sheikh Abdullah asked them three times, mm-hmm. that's actually customary.
I had a feeling it probably was.
It's very customary. So,
I like the different responses every time.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
But yeah, so that, I just wanted to point that out of the ceremony, be out there dancing. It's then during Brown Jovi introducing themselves.
Yes. So good.
I'm pretty floored that Disney put Brown Jovi
in their
like
show.
The name, like, because, like, do you think they'd, if there was a Black Bon Jovi cover band, they would put Black Jovi?
I don't think so.
No, no,
no. I did write down Brown Jovi with two exclamation marks and then a little mouth for a smile. I thought it was pretty funny.
He did a little plug, just like we did at the start of the podcast.
Yeah,
saying, "Yo, we play bar mitzvahs, like we do anything.
We'll do anything you want, man."
And then Kamran shows up, calls Bruno Brian again.
Yeah.
Bruno's like, "Get the fuck out of here!" He interrupted, like, him and Kamala were gonna do a slow dance.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bruno's cock block is what he is.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's like, "They're gonna kill your family and everyone here." Like. To get what they want. This is when Naeem and her family show up. Again, like you said, why did it have to be that night?
Yeah.
They've been living in exile for so fucking long.
Right?
Like they couldn't bide their time a little bit. Like, Kamala just got the fucking bangle like 2 days ago.
Right? Exactly. And I kind of had a big issue with it. Like, the lack of patience. And then, like, you know,
is there a closing in, like, this dimensional, like, rift or a portal or something? Like, they didn't explain anything.
No, there's like, all of a sudden they're just like, oh, she's not willing to help us. I'm like, no, she said she was going to help you. She just said, like, give me like a day. Give me tonight.
I have a friend who's going to help me figure out how to do this without blowing the earth up. But I guess in the same breath, it's kind of pointing towards how the clandestine don't care about the people on Earth. They just want to get home.
Exactly, right? So it's like, oh, fuck it, we'll just do ourselves. I'm like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, especially if you age slowly, I feel like your concept of time is different usually. And most times you see it on movies and TV. When someone ages slowly, they're not in a rush to do shit because to them, you know, 40 years is nothing. You know, so yeah. Why would one day mean anything? That's like a millisecond in your life.
Yes.
So, like, I just found it against kind of the normal kind of stereotype of people who age very slowly, because usually they're not really in a rush to do shit. Again, they have been exiled and they're just like, they've been here for 100 years and they're just over it. So that's part of it, I guess. But at the same time, like, it just seems so forced and rushed for them to, like, to turn on Kamala, you know? So
have
I don't
drink
know.
If you're playing the low-key rap drinking game, Cody's phone just went off.
Yep. Classic. Classic.
I never have my phone on loud, ever, just because I use my phone for work, and if I had it on vibrate or loud, it would go off every fucking 30 yeah. seconds.
Well,
so.
The problem is that I had it on, like, you know, silent. I went in, hit the volume, and then went, boop, cancel out, but I guess that doesn't turn off my alarms.
No, it doesn't.
No, so,
because alarms are meant to wake you up when your phone is on silent.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of counterintuitive.
Fuck you, Rob. Hey,
okay.
Hey, fuck you.
Anywho's all speaking. Never mind. So this is when we get into the only real fight scene in the whole show.
Yeah.
Thus far, Kamala's like, you know, avoiding stuff. You know, basically, like, the light is, like, she sees something, like, coming at her, and she's like, oh, fuck, I need to move, so the light moves her.
Yeah, or it, part of it, too, is that she or blocks it, and it, the, you know, when they hit her, it just sends her flying without any injury, but it still, you know, protects her.
I think it's like an armor.
Yeah, basically. Since she doesn't know offensive moves. She just knows, like, I need to not die.
Yeah,
protective
exactly.
mode. Survival
mode. I love when she goes in the kitchen. She's like, everyone, get the hell out of here. And they're all like, ah.
Yeah, like, whatever.
And then, like, one of the clandestine walks in and fucking knocks one of them out. And they're like, yeah. Oh, I'm getting the fuck
oh,
out of here.
Oh, hell no. And they just fucking like everyone bounces.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, like, that's happening. And I love the little aside. Like, they go outside and everyone's like, because Kamala pulled the fire alarm to get everyone out.
Yeah.
And Taisha's, like, talking to the other bride who's crying. And the bride is like, and she's like, you look really pretty. And the bride's like, yeah, you do too.
Yeah.
And then jump back. We get like a little like tension filled search scene. Like Naima yeah. turns the lights off. They've all got their weapons out. Really good tension scene. And really smart by Naima to like make a noise so that Kamala
goes defense mode.
She knows how the bangle works, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so like Kamala, you know, obviously, you know, emits light. And they find her, they knock her into the reception area. And this is when most of the major fighting happens. Kamran comes to help as well, which I yeah. thought was interesting. I did want to point out that Bruno throws a present at one of the dudes when he's about to smash Kamala. Mm-hmm. And Kamala does her extendo punch.
Yeah.
Like in the comics, but it's obviously with light. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, you know, molding her body around. Which I think is a nice way to both to separate her from Mr. Fantastic.
Yep.
But also keep her powers very similar to how they are in the comics. I did want to point out that when they linger on Bruno later on, there's, like, a high-pitched noise when he's, like, wincing in pain. Which I thought was just really interesting. Like, is this going to be, like, a gateway to him getting powers or something? Or having something internally going on. I hope not. I want him to remain just regular Joe.
Yeah, no, just use his brains, you know?
Yeah. Build but Kamran brains. Comes in. He's very clearly an adept fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fighting Bald Dude.
Yep.
And then Bald Dude fucking spears him, like, off the top, like, yeah. balcony and, like, knocks him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought, yeah, he fucked him right up.
Yeah.
And then, this is when Naima grabs the bangle because they're surrounding Kamala and they both see a vision of a train.
Yep.
That says Karachi on it.
Sure do.
And then the DODC shows up and grabs everybody conveniently but Kamala.
Yeah, and Bruno.
She just sneaks out the back door.
Well,
Bruno.
When they first came in, Bruno was already kind of like, on the ground.
He was off to the side.
He was off to the side, so I get that. And then Kamala kind of does a little, like, karate move and, like, gets Cameron's mom off her.
Yeah.
And then dives over to Bruno. So I think, you know, it is convenient, but at the same time, like, I feel like the DODC was more focused on the adults in the room.
So yeah, but they're there looking for a kid.
It's true. They are looking for Kamala. So it is kind of weird, but, like, at the same time, yeah, you know, they just got like this, you know.
They grabbed who they could get.
Yeah, they got, you know, four adults and one teenager.
Yeah. It is when, so Kamala sneaks out the back with Bruno, throws her light at the door to hold it shut, and Nakia sees her use her powers. She's like, what the fuck? Like, you've been this whole time.
Don't tell me.
But I don't think she's vindictive. I think she's just shocked. Like, especially when Bruno tells Kamala to leave and Kamala gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Nakia's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
She's not like, what the fuck? She's like, what's going on? Like, what the fuck is happening? Right? So I think that she'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I think she'll be a little pissed off at first just because of, you know.
Who she thinks is her best friend.
Exactly, right? Like, they're a little trio and she wasn't in on it. I think, yeah, you know, I would like for her to be a little upset at the beginning, but then accept it, and then we can move on. That's what I hope happens for that little relationship. I hope it doesn't, like, ruin their relationship or some bullshit like that. Like, this girl, if your best friend ends up being a superhero wannabe, then you're going to be okay with it.
Exactly. Is at this point, Kamala gets home. Maniba and Yusuf are like, we heard you pulled the fire alarm. Like, you, the people you were with were arrested. Like, what the fuck is going on? And Kamala's just like, I can't tell you. Which, I'm sorry, but at this point, you're her parents. You fucking, you verbally beat it out of her.
Yeah, right.
Like, this isn't something small.
Yeah.
Like, you allegedly ruined your brother's wedding by pulling a fire alarm. And then all this shit went down with these people that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a bold prediction, a mini prediction. I think it's best to discuss it here because it's happening. I think that Muniba didn't push because she saw the train. So, she knows what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Because
she has an idea of what's going on.
Because we jump a little bit further ahead, Kamala's in her room, and her nani calls her, Sana, and says, I saw the train. You need to come to Karachi right now and bring your mom.
Yeah.
So I think that Maniba saw the train.
Yeah, I think so.
I think she knows everything that's going on.
I think every vision
that Kamala has seen, there's a good chance Maniba has seen the vision.
I don't know, but her nani didn't see the first vision.
Well, there was two of them, right? There was her when she first got the bangle and like
see the
fell
the
through
eyes.
The dimension.
Yeah.
And then there was also when she saw Naima reaching for her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, maybe not, but I do think
the train one, though, I feel like, yeah.
There's a good chance that Maniba saw the train.
Especially if Sana saw it.
Yeah. So I get, yeah, in bold predictions, I want to talk about what we think the train meant. Because I don't think it meant go to Karachi. I think it meant something else.
No, yeah, I think it was just, my guess is it was referring to when Aisha went missing.
I think it's referring to where Aisha is now.
That too. Which could be to Karachi.
It could be Aisha reaching out to them. All right, we'll talk about it in bold predictions. Talk about it now. But yeah, that's the episode. I did find it really weird that Sana hung up without giving Kamala a chance to talk to her about it. Like, she literally said, come to Karachi. Kamala's like, what the fuck? She's like, bring your mother. And then hung up.
Bye.
So I found that a little weird.
It was a little weird, but I think they wanted to leave it like kind of... open-ended, you know, they don't want to linger on it too much. Basically, just teeing up, you're going to, like, next episode, we're probably in Karachi.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, right? Where we might see the Red Dagger.
The Red Dagger. But we could talk about that later in the predictions of the bold. But before we get bold, why don't we get into the rating? All right, buddy.
All right, man.
I guess it's my turn, right?
I think so. I went last time, so suck a nut.
All right, fuck you. So I gave episode 1 a 67, episode 2 a 73.
Yeah.
I think this episode was better.
Okay.
That's a tough question.
It is, because I feel like there were some things I didn't like.
There were more things I didn't like in this episode than past episodes, but I feel like this episode was the most entertaining out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
All those things being said,
like, the wedding was fun, the action sequence at the after the wedding,
the Easter egg of the 10 rings,
yeah,
I fucking love that,
the name drop of, you know, Eric Selvig bringing it back.
Yeah, like, I just think that this one kind of had a little bit of for everybody. I do have some, again, issues of, you know, again, the magic movie land of Bruno getting that ancient research, like, yeah, that's just fucking ridiculous. I do think that they didn't spend much time at all building up why Kamala is having such issues with, you know, like, I just don't think they built the relationship between her and the clandestine up enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they could have spent a little bit more time doing that. I'm not saying, like, it's a horrible thing, but to me, it's just like, it just felt rushed.
Yeah. 100%.
And right now the DODC seem like chumps, but they kind of prevailed at the end. So I'm hoping we get more DODC as the show persists. So with that being said, 75 out of 100. I still enjoyed this more than the first two episodes. The show has been great. It's been a really easy watch. The episodes fly by.
Yeah, they do.
Like, they ever? They really do fly by. But for some reason, it just doesn't have that it factor. It doesn't have that low-key factor, even that Hawkeye factor. WandaVision to an extent as well, but... like, I just think it just doesn't have it.
Yeah. Do you think part of that reason is because it's a new character? Whereas, like, all the those three other shows that you mentioned, you know, we already know that character, so we don't have to do like the introductory shit. They can just jump right into the meat and potatoes. You know what I mean? They don't really need to explain much to us because we've already seen them in so many things prior to the show.
Yeah.
And then this one's a new one, so it doesn't quite have it because we're still doing like the origin story.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it's a bit of, you know, it's a few things, right? Like, I'm not familiar with the character at all. Yeah. I literally had, the only Miss Marvel I'd heard of was Carol Danvers. So, you know, there's that. There's also like, you know, in this origin story, it's not like a Spider-Man origin story where he gets bit by the spider and all of a sudden, you know,
that's power.
He can fucking leap tall buildings and land on the ground. And like, he's able to utilize his abilities a lot easier. Whereas Kamala is kind of a bumbling kid.
Yeah.
Still, right? Like, she's not able to utilize her powers like most superheroes would in their origin story. So I think it just makes it a little bit harder to grab onto. This could be like a slow burn, right? Like, it could just get better and better and better.
I mean, it has kinda so far, right? Like, our ratings have gone up every episode, so.
Well, we don't know. What we got to know, we got to figure out your rating.
Yeah, mine, actually, you know, so my first one was a 70, then a 72. I almost had it at a 73, I think. And I switched it to 72.
You dropped down a little bit because you're a coward.
Yeah, but this time, I'm with you. It's a 75, you know, it's a good, you know, B, you know, just a
solid B.
Solid B. Solid B rating. I was kind of torn when I was kind of trying to think of my ratings, just because there were those couple things that I like. It was like, oh, it's just so convenient, you know, and rushed for the other parts that aforementioned. But it's still, like you said, it was a fun episode. It moved the plot along. We got to learn more about who she is. That was a big reveal, right? So I did enjoy that. You know, we got a new dimension to learn about. You know, we know about the dark dimension from Doctor Strange. Now we have the light dimension. So that's kind of cool. It was a good episode. So yeah, I'm going to go 75. Nice B rating. I'm hoping that things can only get better from here. You know, they're teeing up some fun things. So
yeah. Yeah, they're definitely teeing a lot up, but I think we'll save those things that we think that they're teeing up for the predictions of the bold. Before we get bold, let's get rafty with the rafties. It was fucking terrible. All right, buddy. I feel like MVP is pretty.
It was kind of. I had two on the list, you know, and I was like.
So did I. I think we both have one that's the same, and then our other MVP choice is probably different.
Probably.
I gave it to Kamala Khan.
Yeah. She's doing a good job. Great job.
I thought Iman Vellani doesn't have any real acting experience prior to this.
Not really, no. So.
She's doing a great job. I think she's just being herself, which I think is easy.
Mm-hmm. No,
like, she just kind of seems like she's being herself.
A little bit, probably, yeah. But like, she's crushing it. She's doing a great job. No qualms there.
I thought that her crying scenes were pretty good too. Like, in general, has just been a solid performance. And you adore Kamala Khan's character, but you're also frustrated with her at the same time.
Yeah, which is, you know,
exactly how realistic. You should be.
Yeah, it was realistic.
A teenager. So.
So I, the two people I had was Kamala Khan and Bruno.
Yeah, I had Yusuf.
Yeah, I had a feeling you had Yusuf.
Fucking love that guy.
And I was trying to think, it was okay, like, does Bruno carry the show? Is he the MVP, the most valuable?
No.
You know, participant in the show. And not quite, no, so I have to give it to Kamala Khan as well.
He's not quite Gary the Cameraman levels of Iron Man 3. Like, he carried that movie. But, yeah, no, I get it.
If you want to get the kind of joke there, go back and watch our Iron Man 3 episode.
Listen to our Iron Man 3 episode. Yeah. If you can watch it, that'd be kind of creepy. We don't even screen. Screen capture these.
Watch with your ears.
Yeah, that Iron Man 3 episode was a banger.
It's a banger.
And Gary the Cameraman, guy's a star.
Guy's a star.
If you don't remember who he is, shame on you.
Yeah. If you don't, just go back and watch the movie. It's worth a watch. Yeah. Kamal Khan, MVP. Who do you got for LVP?
I want to point out, it was a nice thing you mentioned, go back and watch Iron Man 3, because the 10 rings. Everything's interconnected. It's the MCU. It's wonderful. LVP. I picked the fucking principal or guidance counselor guy.
Really?
He drives me fucking nuts.
Oh, I liked him.
He's trying too hard to be cool, and he's annoying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone had mentioned to me that he's like a YouTube guy or like a TikToker. Some kind of guy like that anyway.
Yeah, it looks like it in terms of like how he acts. It drives me fucking nuts.
It's driving you up the wall, is he?
He just acts like a guy who's in a Disney show. And yeah. I just don't like it. Get him out.
Yeah. My LVP is Cameron's mom, Najma. Najma?
Is it Najma or Naima?
Naima. Najma.
So, if anyone knows how to pronounce it properly, please tell us. We're idiots.
Yeah. And give us a comment.
But I think we put a disclaimer at the start of the series. There is a good chance we're going to fuck a name up or two.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen.
It's a pretty foregone conclusion that we're going to be fucking some names up.
I think, for me, she was just LVP because they didn't flush the character out enough. And it was just like a total 180. Obviously, you know, she's not going to be good, but like she's like trying to be like nice to Kamala and like explain to her what's going on, or at least what she wants Kamala to know. But then just to go like, oh, no, like it's just like one of those like reading a text out of context. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what? Like she said this? Oh, she's not going to help us? Like, no, she's going to fucking help you, man. Like, just give her the night to go to her brother's wedding. Like,
you jag. You
fucking jag. Like, cool your jets over here, jag off.
That's fair. I did have her in consideration.
Yeah, so she's my LVP. I think she has a chance to kind of get out of LVP the more we see her. We're probably going to see her again in the next three episodes. Or each one, I mean. I don't think she'll stay in LVP, but right now that's my...
I actually had the DODC until they captured everyone. They were on my list as LVP, and then I'm like, oh, but they then captured everyone.
Yeah, they're not as chumps. Jump. Yeah, because episode two. Wow.
That was the runner-up for the bullshit award. God. How poorly they handled that situation.
Yeah, bullshit.
What was your best quote, sir?
Mine, I went corny, and I went with, good is not a thing you are, Kamala. It is a thing you do. Which I thought,
fucking knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it.
It was good. It was a good line.
You're gonna tell me that the best quote from Spider-Man 1 is "With great power comes great responsibility."
Obviously. Just joking.
Moving on.
Just joking. Just joking.
But although I will say, when they said it in No Way Home and Aunt May said it, I was like, okay. Like, that was a good use of it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't like it at first, but then when the two other Spider-Men came, then it all kind of made sense.
Yes, yes.
It was fitting for the character. It was fitting for the scene. You know what I mean? That's something she probably needed to hear. Like, she wants to be good, and she thinks you have to be good to do good things. Whereas, you know, Abdullah was just like, no, like, you just have to do the good things. Mm-hmm. You have to consciously do good, and then you will be good.
Exactly. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think you're wrong. I think lots of people would agree with you on that quote. Yeah. I went comedy.
It's usually how we do things, which is funny because in the beginning, I would have thought I always went comedy and you did more serious, but we really switched roles in the latter half of our podcasting.
Yeah, because I went comedy. I said, Bruno says, "What makes you think you have Ant-Man powers?" And Kamala says, "Because we're both charming and we look a lot younger than we are," which was like. It was so perfect because, as you said, like, Paul Rudd doesn't age. Like, he's reverse aged.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, Kamala Khan looks like she's 13. So, it fits. Yeah. I just thought that was wonderful, and it was a great, you know, parallel to the real world.
Yeah. My runner-up line was actually a Bruno line. When they're in the room talking about interdimensional, like, travel and stuff, and she's asking for his help, he's like, yeah, of course I'll help you. Get like these people back to their dimension and you know, help their average looking son. just thought he just like kind of threw that in there, just like just a little jab at Cameron, which I thought was quite funny. And yeah. Their average looking son.
Yeah, he just fucking snuck it in there. And you know what though? I can totally level with Bruno.
Oh yeah, no, I totally got it. I totally get it. Throwing some shade.
Yeah. So the best action sequence is the only action sequence, really. You know, is the fight during the wedding.
Yeah.
Specifically, the extendo punch. I thought it looked fucking cool.
It did look good because she's like, oh, wow.
And then when she swung it around and hit everyone, that was fucking sick.
That was sick too.
I do want to give a small runner up to the scene where the kid gets injured, like where she saves him, but he gets injured.
Yeah.
Because like that's kind of the start of her superhero dilemma, right? Like, I didn't succeed how I wanted to.
Yeah, I didn't perfectly save him, but at the same time, he is still alive because of me.
Yeah. So, like, to me, like, I thought that, and like, but it is dividing her community a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, haters gonna hate, but yeah. Like, most people seem to be on board with Nightlight. So, yeah.
Well, part of the reason the neighborhood is kind of upset is because it is drawing attention to their communities. Of you know, from the you know, authorities, which they already have enough grief from that bullshit anyway, from stereotyping and all that stuff, right? So they're just bringing more attention of another authority figure.
Yeah. Did you have a best moment?
I did. It was also from this episode. It is when Nakia stands up to Deaver. I thought it was just a fucking great moment, a great scene. And she just like, no, I learned it in reruns of Law and Order. No, yeah, you can't fucking come in here.
I can't tell if she was being sarcastic or not.
I can't tell either. You get the idea that Nakia is, you know, she's a little whippersnapper. She's a smart cookie, so she probably knows her shit. But it probably didn't hurt that she watched some reruns of Law and Order.
But I feel like a lot of people learn, you know, some of the super stupid basic parts, like you know. The Miranda rights. Like, I'm sure most of us can recite the Miranda rights just from, like, watching crime shows.
Yeah.
I can.
21 Jump Street, for sure.
Well, yeah, but Channing Tatum can't say the Miranda rights.
But they get it right eventually.
You got the right to suck my dick. That's what he says at the start. You have the right to be an attorney.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like,
for an attorney, one will be provided for you.
Well, yeah, but, like, See, Channing Tatum for Gambit.
Yeah.
I guess it's getting past the point. I think it might be already past the point. I don't think he's old enough. My best moment was the whole discussion about Bon Jovi in the second episode. I fucking loved it. Like, if it wasn't for Slippery When Wet, you know.
Yeah, we would never have met.
And, like, talking about how Taisha loves the Prince of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, they're really going hard on Bon Jovi. No,
they really are.
So who paid who is the question.
Right?
Disney pay Bon Jovi or did Bon Jovi say, get us in?
Yeah.
Get us in the MCU.
Get us in there.
If it was Bon Jovi's, you know, agency that said, hey, like, the MCU is massive. Like, let's try. Because, like, Hooked on a Feeling in Guardians of the Galaxy, like,
blew up.
My whole playlist just blew up.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like, they're not stupid. And, like, was it the Immigrant Song?
Oh, yeah.
That was in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And that was associated with it. And then, like, AC/DC had a huge resurgence. I was going to say resurgence. Resurgence in Iron Man.
I mean, don't you mean Led Zeppelin?
Well, Black Sabbath would have done Iron Man, you dickbag.
No, I'm joking because in Spider-Man Far From Home, Peter Parker thinks it's Led Zeppelin. He's like, I love Led Zeppelin. You're like, no, that's not Led Zeppelin, you bonehead.
Yeah, you know what, Peter? I fucking put a boot to your face for saying that shit.
I'm a little sad that you didn't get my joke.
It was a bit of a deep cut,
but
it wasn't a deep cut. I'm pathetic for not getting it. Yeah. I'm fine admitting that.
Yeah.
but yeah, I just think that it might have been Bon Jovi's agency that said you need to get in here because like this will probably like Living on a Prayer probably. Skyrocketed in Spotify ratings during this. I was really upset that it wasn't a Brown Jovi cover of Living on a Prayer playing. I thought that would have been fucking great if it was just a cover version of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not saying a live version, they're not going to sit there and play music while this fight's going on. which would have been ridiculous, and I probably would have called it a bullshit award, but it would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise? Did you have one?
My biggest surprise. It's kind of, it was a toss up between them doing gin. I did not see that coming. That was a shock.
Because, gin and tonic?
Yeah.
As Bruno said.
And tonic? What? what are you talking about? So either that or just like kind of just how fun this show is. It's just very bright, colorful, fun. Disney Channel-esque, which we've said like kind of since episode one. But yeah, I guess the big surprise is them switching it from Inhuman to Jin, I'll go with.
Okay. Yeah, mine's around the same vein. My biggest surprise was when they panned, like they had that shot and you just see the fucking 10 rings.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. Like, not what I expected.
No, yeah. I didn't think that was going to pop up. But what a great little Easter egg. And it makes sense because, like, obviously the manor has been around for, like, what, thousands of years. Hundreds, or if not thousands.
Yeah.
So he's got his hand in a little bit of everything, right? Especially temples and stuff like that. So it makes sense that his stamp is going to show up in places like that.
Well, we could talk about that in bold predictions because I think the discussion of how the 10 rings might factor in will be in the bold predictions.
That's fair.
A bullshit award has been spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. My bullshit leading into it was the fight at the end of episode two when she gets away from the DODC.
And the DODC are just standing there?
They're just standing there. She like runs over top of them. One guy does shoot at her and take out the like a little platform she created. And then she smashes the one drone. And then she just lands on the ground and it just kind of chills there for a hot sec. And the car rolls up. And then nobody runs around to the other side. Like, what the?
Nobody follows her. Like, nobody was ready in a vehicle to, like, chase after her.
Yeah. Like, why, like, when she's running over top of you, one of the you know, agency, you know, members should have just, like, ran in, like, the opposite direction where she was going. Like, you know where she's going to land on the other side of the vehicle. Just run to the other side and take her out. Like, it just, come on, guys.
Fucking.
Come on.
Amateurs.
Amateurs. Amateurs.
And no Jack Duquesne Award nomination.
Though I will say, Yusuf is kind of creeping into that realm, I will say.
Yeah, he is absolutely creepy.
He is quite adorable.
They are really setting him up to die.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think that.
I will be very sad and like not in a good way. I'll cry and then I'll be angry that they killed him off.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know. I don't think, since family is such a big thing, I don't think they kill him off. But I would love to see him kind of like throw down, not really throw a punch, but maybe just like push somebody or like, you know, try to protect his daughter in some way. And I think that's where, that might be the tipping point for a Jack Duquesne Award.
Yeah. All right. Yusuf is on.
He's on the radar.
He's on parole, Jack Duquesne parole, I guess. I don't know. He's on Jack Duquesne watch.
Yeah. He's definitely on the watch list for Jack Duquesne. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Because this is the only place you're going to hear it.
Yeah, because everyone else is stupid and don't realize the glory of
Jack Duquesne.
Mr. Jack Duquesne from Hawkeye. Go back and listen to our Hawkeye episodes if you want to understand why we gush about that man.
Yeah.
Any chance we get. Also, the guy that plays him is in Better Call Saul. He's fucking amazing in it.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. Oh, yeah. He plays the, like, a newer villain.
Sweet.
Like, actual villain.
Yeah.
So, not Jack Duquesne villain.
Yeah. Fake villain.
Anywho, speaking of the boldness of Mr. Jack Duquesne, why don't we get in to bold predictions?
All right, I feel like you wrote one down mid episode.
Yeah, so you talked about how Bruno is going to get smarter, going to Caltech. I think he's going to cross over with Bruce Banner at some point, become a pupil.
Ooh, he did dress up as Bruce Banner. So obviously, I think that's one of his probably idols, one of the science bros' idols. And obviously, Tony's gone. So
not saying he's going to show up in She-Hulk, but like at some point, like in a new Avengers movie when. You know, Bruce Banner might be working in like the lab or something, helping them with stuff. Bruno is like his pupil or like his summer student or something. His
assistant kind of thing, right? I you know what? That's not bad. I like that. I think that's the way you bring Bruno back. Like if you don't bring him back with Ms. Marvel, because you know, they're probably not going to do a whole lot with Ms. Marvel. They might be doing another season. She might pop in with, like, the Young Avengers, right? But you're not going to bring Bruno in. That's a good way to bring Bruno back, is through science. Maybe even Ironheart, right? So they're starting filming on that now, I think. I think they just started filming. And obviously she's another brilliant scientist who's able to create her own Iron Man suits. Bruno might be somebody who can help with that. Mm-hmm. So might be someone like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that was what I typed down mid-episode.
Speaking of science kids, and I think, you know, and this is bold, and this is what this section's about. What if when he goes to Caltech, he meets Amadeus Chow, who is another Spider-Man type character who ends up becoming the Iron Spider-Man in the comics and in the cartoons?
Oh my God, that's so deep and bold. Where the fuck are they going to fit that in?
I don't know, man, but I liked it. I just popped into my head. I don't know why.
I feel like a lot of the time your predictions have like a logic, like, you know, path. You know, there's a roadway that connection? They could follow. There's no roadway here. You're off-roading.
Yeah, I went pure. I pulled out my inner Rob.
You're driving your fucking pickup truck on a sidewalk.
Here. Yeah. I think Caltech is where we'll see Amadeus Chow. Amadeus.
I don't know who I don't know who the Iron Spider is, so.
The only reason I really even know who he is from the Spider-Man cartoon, the newest one on Disney Plus, where Spider-Man joins like S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. And then Amadeus is another student who like rivals Peter's like intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then ends up getting his hands on the Iron Spider suit.
Okay.
And then becomes another version of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, you know, obviously that's a whole other thing with Spider-Man, but I just thought, oh, it's another smart kid that they could bring in. They don't have to necessarily do Iron Spider, but like someone who could help with either like Ironheart and or Bruno, who knows, or work with Bruce Banner. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it. I like your idea though with Bruce Banner or something like that.
I think that would make the most sense personally,
or he works with Eric Selvig. Who knows?
Yeah, where is Selvig going to show up next though, other than Love and Thunder?
Yeah, Love and Thunder. Yeah, he could do like an Avengers type movie. You know what I mean? Like he's obviously a leading expert in the field of interdimensional travel and, you know, cosmic shit, right? So
yeah, you know, and it's not like Stellan Skarsgård's doing much.
Yeah, you know, he does things, but like I feel like he likes being Eric Selvig.
Yeah.
So yeah, like he could pop up, you know, and obviously since Bruno's already read some of his articles, he knows who he is, maybe idolizes him a little bit as well because he's a leading expert in astrophysics. You know, it's possible. So I think we're on the right track there. Bruno's gonna find his way in the science world and meet up with one of our experts in the MCU.
All right. So the next thing is actually a question. So our villains have captured the villains. How the hell is that going to play out?
Yeah, there's going to be definitely a breakout scene, right? Or they've been around for 100 years, they've kind of built up kind of maybe like a little mini empire or like, you know, some funds, you know, maybe they got a lawyer. I don't know. Imagine they brought in like
She-Hulk.
No, they won't do that.
No, she her show's coming out in what, a month?
Yeah, not even. Oh no, we have about a month actually.
Yeah, July, end of July,
20, July 22nd, I think. But yeah, you know, maybe they have, you know, just the money to kind of buy their way out. Is kind of what I mean. Like maybe they've built up like a good sort of funds, you know?
Yeah, or maybe
they have some sweet cars. So,
hey, we know that you're Skrulls.
Yeah.
So why don't you let us out?
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
or they just fight their way out. But if they fight their way out, why did they get? How did they get captured in the first place?
They were probably incapacitated with their
shocking.
Because again, the DODC is designed. They're like S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah,
they have all these gadgets and things to deal with powered people.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess they didn't like shock them with some of the shockwave guns, whatever the heck they use.
Whatever. Yeah, it was like a sonic boom or something.
Yeah, which I feel like that gun is very similar to the one from Homecoming, right? I bet you. Do you think the Tinkerer is like building the weapons?
This is the second time you've mentioned the Tinkerer. For those of you that don't know, in Spider-Man Homecoming, the guy who's building all of that stuff for Vulture in the comics is called the Tinkerer.
Yeah.
And he's a big time, like, you know, inventor level character. He like builds different
gadgets and things
like for villains.
Yeah. Builds a lot of costumes, a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
For all the villains. So you know what? Like, he's obviously an expert in that
Chitauri weapons. Because he uses Chitauri stuff, right?
Yeah.
In Homecoming, at least.
I feel like they got to have somebody on the payroll building those weapons.
Yeah.
So.
Also, speaking of Homecoming, tune into our Super Rafties episode, our Mega Rafties, because Adrian Toomes might be making some appearances.
Maybe.
The Vulture.
The Vulture.
He doesn't talk like that. He just talks like a guy.
Yeah.
Just talks like Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Who's all
like he works at Bed Bath & Beyond and is a police captain. yeah. Amazing movie. The other guys, by the way.
Watch it.
Yeah. I think they fight their way out. I think there's going to be a big clash and we're going to get Easter eggs like throughout the DODC as they're trying to break their way out.
Yeah. Maybe other prisoners.
Maybe, that would be cool.
That'd be cool. Maybe.
Do you think the DODC works at the Raft?
Maybe, or even the, I can't remember the name of it right now. We'll find out in the She-Hulk what that prison is, where they keep the Abomination. Because it's not at the Raft. It's like on a land-based, the Cube, I think, maybe?
Yeah, I think it might be the Cube.
The Cube, I think is what the prison's called. So they might be operating out of something like that, or at least have a direct line to one of the prisons.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the DODC has a very good chance of showing up in She-Hulk as well.
Obviously. Probably.
If they're capturing powered people, and She-Hulk is all about defending powered people and having a law firm kind of based on that through the government, they're obviously gonna like cross paths. Obviously.
Obviously.
But yeah, they could be operating out of some kind of prison of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be cool. So yeah, I think that there's potential for some Easter eggs at that scene because they have to break out somehow. I feel like they got to fight their way out.
You can't just introduce them and say, "All right, smile later."
Yeah, which obviously like gives Kamala and her mom a chance to get to, Pakistan
Karachi and
get there without being chased like immediately. So I think that's the only reason they probably got them arrested is like, okay, now there's a chance that we have time for them to get over there, figure out something, and then they're gonna follow behind them half a day later or a day later.
I think there's gonna be two separate stories going along. There's gonna be them in Karachi and then there's gonna be the clandestines in the DODC.
Yeah, and then them fighting their way out, them figuring out what's going on in Karachi. And then at probably the end of the episode, the clandestine make their way to Karachi. And then lead into episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
Where we see the Red Dagger fight along Nightlight. And I feel like, there's a good chance we're going to meet Aisha, the great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Potentially in the next episode or episode 5. And she's going to tell more of the story. Because what about this? What if she got the bracelet and the reason they didn't see her is because the other four are bad and Aisha is not bad. And she doesn't want them to get back to the Nord dimension. And that's why she went a different way and never found them.
Yeah.
And then gave the bracelet to her daughter. Well, probably gave it to her daughter so her daughter didn't get taken and get lost during the petition. But what if that's the reason Aisha went missing? It's because the other four are evil and she is not. I think that's where we're at.
I do think so as well, and I think that those questions will get answered.
And Aisha's gonna kind of give us the full story. We've only got a snippet. We got what we wanted, what they wanted us to hear.
Mm-hmm. My next question, and I think you and I have talked about this a little bit, is what do you think the Ten Rings have to do with this?
So my first thought was when Aisha came in, it was like, the guy at the temple told us we needed 2. What if the guy in the temple was the Mandarin?
But the man... So I guess I'll talk about my theory, because it kind of answers like that question indirectly. So I find it incredibly convenient So that if this is just an Easter egg, I find this incredibly convenient that at the end of Shang-Chi, Carol Danvers is the one of the only three people there.
Yep.
That isn't Shang. It's her, Wong, and Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Professor Hulk.
Yeah.
So they're talking about how the Ten Rings are calling out for something. They're searching for something. Remember?
Yeah, they're like a signal was kind of sent out.
It's a signal.
Yeah.
A signal is sent out.
Yeah.
And what if those Ten Rings are part of the, like the bangle is part of the Ten Rings?
Right. Or like they're related kind of thing.
Yeah. And so that the Ten Rings, like the bracelet Ten Rings, not the actual like organization, but the rings that Shang-Chi has at the end.
Yeah.
What if those are part of a set and they're searching for each other?
Maybe. Or yeah, like what if the Ten Rings are from that same dimension? Right?
Or
what if they have the same kind of primordial power?
Yeah, and those, if you use them together, that's how you actually open up the portal back to that dimension.
Yeah, maybe.
Because these are like an ancient race of people, right? So
yeah, and yeah, you know, and then obviously Shang-Chi's family line came from another dimension as well.
Correct.
Probably not the same dimension, I can't imagine.
Well, what's that, like, that dimension that they're in where, you know, Ying Nan lives, like, his aunt? Like, his mom's, yeah, his aunt, his mom's side.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a little pocket dimension, I think.
Right? So, like, you have other dimensions in Shang-Chi as well. Like, it's, to me, it's, I don't think this was an Easter egg. I legitimately think that this, they're trying to connect it somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if the bangle is how, that you know, the Jin get back to their home dimension, I just don't see the Ten Rings coming in, because I can't imagine Shang-Chi's going to pop by in the show. I mean, it would be amazing if we saw Simu Liu again.
It would be so convenient, because like him and Chloe Bennett just did like a Facebook, like an Instagram like meetup.
Yeah.
And then like he shows up in the show that's about something that's actually inhuman that has links to Quake, but they're not doing Inhumans.
So, yeah.
It would just be a fucking, like a mind fuck.
Nerdgasm.
Regardless, I do think that they're going to connect them somehow. I don't think Shang-Chi's showing up. But to me, it's just incredibly convenient that Carol Danvers is one of the only three people at the end of Shang-Chi that's talking about these Ten Rings.
Yeah, that's fair. I think part of the reason that was because she, you know, knows things about cosmic shit, right? Like, she's an expert. She's one of the leading experts on alien tech. But
yeah,
you know what I mean. So, I do agree. You know, now that we've got Miss Marvel and a bangle, which is somewhat relative in power, I guess. You know, it's an alien ancient device that we don't know much about. I would love for the Ten Rings to kind of get involved more. I hope it's not just like a little throwaway Easter egg. Which
yeah,
it could very well be, since we do know that, you know, when Wu kind of like put his stamp on the world over the last couple hundred years, thousand years.
Yeah. Has hand in everything.
Had his hand in a lot of things, a lot of shady things, a lot of behind the scenes stuff, right? So having temples and shrines to him makes sense. We don't really know what that temple was. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was in rubble. It was in ruins. Okay, also a question. The blue arm, do you think that was a Jin, or do you think that was a Kree that the bangle was on that they found? Because it could be either one.
They're throwing all this fucking shit, right? Like,
yeah,
it's the Ten Rings. There's a blue arm, which could be a Kree, but the bangle is based on the power bracelets, which are Kree.
Yeah.
But the bangle's not actually Kree.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
And in many iterations of folklore and or I think even the Marvel comics, like some Jin are blue. They can be blue as well, right? So
the genie in Aladdin.
Exactly. Blue. Boom.
Blue. That's it. No, yeah. That was a Jin. That was actually Robin Williams's genie's arm.
Yeah, in modern day.
Yeah.
At first I was like, oh, it's a Kree. Sweet. Yeah, they are doing like the Negabonds. And then the Jin reveal happened and I was like, oh shit, maybe it was a Jin. But then they were the only ones who were exiled, so maybe it is Kree. I don't know. And if it's Kree and then the Ten Rings were there, like, maybe the Ten Rings had some fights with Kree over the ages.
Yeah, over those, you know, items, millennia, like the Ten Rings and the bangles and stuff.
Yeah, like maybe when Wu like took out a Kree who was using that bangle, and he just was more powerful than the Kree.
Yeah,
the Kree obviously have, you know, popped in from time to time on Earth.
Yeah, they really, like, again, the Kree have been pretty chumpy, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've only got them,
especially when, like, your big mega super strong Kree is supposed to be Ronin, and he's been fucking a joke.
Yeah, he wasn't the greatest, but you know, we also had Jude Law's Kree and like that, their little team from Captain Marvel, right? But
yeah, but like, yeah, they got fucking beat pretty easily too. So like,
I mean, they did okay. They just, Captain Marvel, you know, realized her powers and kicked ass.
Yes.
Kicked ass.
So, is there anything, any other predictions you've got there, Codes?
All right, this one's another bold one. If we're just talking straight up cameos, who we might see.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we get Eric Selvig.
You think Selvig shows up here, right?
I think, if he doesn't physically show up, I think we'll hear, like, Bruno reaches out to him and he gets a letter back or he gets a message back.
Maybe. He's in Thor: Love and Thunder, right?
I don't know. He's not in the trailer.
I'm pretty sure he's in Thor: Love and Thunder.
I wouldn't be surprised if he is.
If he isn't in Thor: Love and Thunder, then I think that you are right.
Yeah, I think he might reach out to him. I think for interdimensional travel, maybe Bruno's like, fuck it, I'll throw a Hail Mary, get some advice. And
I'm sure Selvig knows what's going on. Like, this is all this shit is all over the internet now. Like, I'm sure he has an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, maybe. You know, he seems like he's a bit out to lunch sometimes, you know. He's kind of really tunnel visioned on interdimensional stuff and, you know, cosmic things, and probably works for the government again. I can't remember where we last saw him. And
well, he was in Thor Dark World last, because he wasn't in Ragnarok, was he? I don't think he was. I think he was in Thor Dark World, and he's kind of was when he was going crazy.
Yeah. 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 I think that's the last time we've really saw him. He may have popped up somewhere else. I can't remember. Don't think so, though.
That was Thor Dark World. Whew! That was our second episode.
That was, yeah, it was ages ago, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, we favorably reviewed Thor Dark World.
Yes, yes. Much to the contrast of most reviews of the movie, we liked it a little bit more. So if you're just joining us now for Ms. Marvel, go back to the beginning where we started and how we didn't know how to talk, and, well, we still don't know how to talk.
I was going to say,
we're a little better now. Well, that's the bold, you know. We're still the bold
segment.
Yeah,
we're not liars. We're not liars, Cody.
Liars. But yeah,
you'd be wrong. I think we're not
cameo,
liars.
I think if we do get a cameo of somebody in the MCU, it's going to be Eric Selvig.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, do I wish Matt Murdock is a lawyer that comes in to talk to people in the DODC? Sure. It's not going to happen, though.
Oh, come on. He's showing up in She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Well, that for sure. Yeah, yeah. He has to. There'll be riots if
you
he doesn't.
You made her TV show called She-Hulk Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
Nelson and Murdoch, attorneys at law.
Yep.
Like, come on.
Yeah. You're just giving us all the signals, Disney. We're picking them up.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Let's do it.
All right, buddy. Final thoughts before I wrap this one up.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a fun episode. The wedding was an absolute delight. I thought they did it, and this is something I wrote down as well. I think the show is doing a good job, from my perspective, at enlightening us on kind of Pakistan culture and kind of just giving us a good idea of what, you know, life is like, and then, like, you know, their, you know, a little bit of their religion and stuff like that.
And again, I think they're doing a pretty good job of that, especially for a couple of stupid white guys like us that don't, you know, have much exposure to this. I do see lots of, you know, chatter on the internet of people being like, oh, well, they're making a joke out of it. You know, they don't do this, they don't do that. I'm like, but it's a TV show. It's a movie. This isn't a biopic on Islam.
Yeah.
Or this
Pakistani history.
Like, this is you know, it's a window in.
Yeah.
You know, most TV shows are making fun of Christian norms. Mm-hmm. Like most white TV shows are making fun of Christian norms. With, like, I'm not saying like making fun of Christianity, but it's a window into, you know, white culture and Christianity, like Christian based culture. Like it or not, in Caucasian North America, we are all of our norms and, you know, things like that are based on Christian heritage. That's what our country was built on.
Yeah.
You know, in turn, I'm talking about the white. I know our country, you know, it was built on indigenous tribes. Like they were here first. That's a discussion for a different
podcast.
Different podcast. But, and it's incredibly important issues, but, you know, we would be talking about that for hours and hours, yeah, about how important it is and how horrible it is. But what I'm saying is, I understand that there's people that are offended because they think they're making jokes, because, like, Yusuf's a goof, right?
But he wouldn't be, you know, from Pakistan and be...
He can have a personality.
Yeah.
Like,
I think he's adorable. I think he's a great guy.
And so, like, yeah, and I agree. Like, and, like, whenever I look these things up, like, you know, the wedding was very similar. Like, that was all, you know, pretty standard. Like, that's stuff that happens. That doesn't happen at a Christian wedding.
No. I wish it did. I would love to see dances like that.
Yeah.
Fucking so much fun.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. It's been a nice, like, a small, like, window. And, like, everyone, when you're watching stuff like this, take it with a grain of salt. This isn't everything that happens in everybody's culture. But, like, to me, it's pretty interesting to get at least a perspective on what it might look like.
Yeah, like, without the show, I honestly, and, like, you know, I did not know about the partition whatsoever. Like, that is not something we learned in our education system.
We don't learn it at all.
So, you know what? That alone, I can take that and be like, you know what? I learned something from the show about the culture and in history of our world. So, you know what? Thank you for that, Disney. I think you did a good job of bringing that to light without rubbing it in our faces. You know what I mean? Like, their culture and the history of things. It's not the main point of the show, but it is ingrained in it and threaded through the show nicely, mm-hmm. I think. Just kind of the history of things.
Also, the discrimination and the stereotyping that you see in today's world when it comes to mosques.
Yep.
Like, they're talking about, like, oh, well, they're already watching us. And there's some people who are like, well, oh, fucking social justice warriors. I'm like, no, it's not social justice warriors. That's how the world is right now.
This is factual.
That's just factual. Like, the moment they're like, oh, powered person, mosque, automatically, you know, using the stereotype of, oh, they must be a terrorist.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Again, not how we feel. This is just the narrative that North America has created.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. Yeah. But they're using it in, like, they're saying, like, we already have this negative attention. We don't want more of it.
Exactly.
Like, we just want them to leave us alone.
Yeah.
So I think that they're using it well in this one. I don't think it's as shoehorned in as it was in, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, yeah. And then that was what I was just going to say next, too, is, like, that is kind of the other show that we can compare to within the MCU. And I think Ms. Marvel is doing a good job of not letting it take over the theme of the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
think they're fun-loving kid who wanted to be a superhero becoming a superhero.
Yeah. Yep, I think they're doing a good job. I just wanted to say that. I feel a little more enlightened on those topics because of the show. I think they're doing a good job.
All right, that's the most political we will get ever.
Yeah,
in the Loki raft, and I don't even think we got that controversial.
No.
That's where we're gonna wrap it up. That's the first three episodes of Ms. Marvel wrapped up with a nice, neat little bow, and the mid-season rafties. Stay tuned for when we do our series wrap-up after episode 6. We will be handing out the ultimate rafties for Ms. Marvel. I want to say thanks for listening. I really appreciate everyone taking the time out of their day to give us a listen. If you wanted to give us a hand, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or, you know, a rating on wherever you get your podcasts, really helps us out with the algorithm and, you know, getting more people to discover the Loki raft. Also, huge kudos to Cody for updating our logo on our podcast networks and on our social media. It was a long time coming.
Yeah, definitely a long time coming. Looks a little more professional now, a more clean cut. I will say I came up with the original idea. It was finalized by Chelsea, our hope to be on payroll graphic designer one day.
On the payroll.
Yeah.
Oh,
I said it now, funny. So now if I say it, maybe it'll actually come to fruition.
Verbal contract. But yeah, so yeah, thank you, Chelsea, for your hand in that. And yeah, the logo looks absolutely phenomenal. Other best way, if you really want to help us out, is just to tell a friend to give us a listen. There's lots of different movies and TV shows that we have talked about that will be, you know, interesting for lots of people to listen to. If you want to hear me get really mad, maybe go back and listen to X-Men Origins Wolverine, where I, you know, very vocally and publicly call out the writers and everyone in that movie, because that movie is a heaping stinking pile of shit. If you did want to, you know, something more related to this, we did do an episode on Captain Marvel very recently. Or if you want to prime yourself up for Thor: Love and Thunder that is getting released, maybe go back and listen to our original trilogy of Loki trilogy in four parts.
Yeah.
Where we talk about all the movies that Loki was in, which consequently
Thor was in.
So that'll be a nice, gateway in. So, Codes, we talked about Miss Marvel, episode 3 today. What is our next episode on?
So, next episode, we're actually going to sneak in. We're bringing back the top 7. And we're going to be doing the top 7 favorite characters, non-MCU edition. So, we're talking about, like, the Fox universe. We're talking, Daredevil kind of universe, Netflix universe.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
because it technically is not canon. Kevin Feige, I think, has been on record saying it is not canon to the MCU yet, so basically, yeah, anything that's not MCU.
So the and Cody and I were talking about this earlier. When we say non-MCU, you know, everyone's like, Daredevil's in the MCU. Well, they haven't, until they reference an event that happened in the Daredevil series or in the Jessica Jones series or in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., until those things get referenced, and like by that I mean Matt Murdock shows up and they're like, oh, what happened to Bullseye? Like something like that. Coulson comes back for some reason, or Quake comes back and they call her Sky or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like until something like that gets referenced, it's not canon and it's not in the MCU.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair.
So that's the structure. Cause like Professor X existed in Earth, 838.
Something like that.
I really should know that. In that universe, Professor X existed.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he existed in, like, that Fox universe exists in the MCU or the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So basically the characters that haven't shown up in the MCU yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So all those movies, all the X-Men movies. Just because if we do the MCU and that, there's just so many characters to pull from. So we'll do.
And it's very likely that the non-MCU would dominate my list.
Yeah.
So I was hoping to get them both.
Yeah, we're going to try to get both in. And it gives an extra top 7. So yeah, that's what we're going to do next. And then, so hopefully that's dropping Tuesday-ish. And then we'll do. And then after that, it's another Miss Marvel episode 4.
Yep. And we're getting close to Thor: Love and Thunder. We bought a whole row at the theater, we will be going. And they are all spoken for. We didn't just buy the row and our assholes and our take. Everyone has gotten a ticket. So there are people in those seats.
Yes, nine of us going.
Yeah. Pumped. So, we will be seeing that on the Thursday, so the 7th of July, and we will be releasing an episode probably for the Tuesday.
Probably, yes.
Just to give everyone time to see it. So
yeah,
lots of stuff coming down the pipeline, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So we will see you next episode when we talk about our top 7 live-action non-MCU characters. Thanks for listening, everybody. And in order to be able to make your top 7 for that episode, you need to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So get all 7 seasons in before Tuesday.
Yeah.
For those of you in future land, we're talking about Tuesday, the 28th of June, 2022.
Just to be clear, just to, we're very precise. We're very precise here on the Loki Raft podcast.
that's the not what we're doing. But yeah, until then, see you later.
See you later.